Wow. Why is it your favorite vampire film?
How is it not everybody's favorite vampire film? I think so. When I saw it originally in the theater, I left the theater going, that movie was fucking fantastic. And I had no interest in vampires. And now that I've seen a bunch of vampire films, and I was like one of my top movies, and people are like, what's your favorite movie? I always name it, And There Will Be Blood. And now that we've seen a bunch of vampire movies, I can say that I appreciate it even more now that I've seen a bunch of vampire movies.
I stopped listening to the back half of your sentence because I was realizing something, and I'm an asshole person.
No, you're fine. It wasn't necessary. It was boring.
I am realizing that if I made a strong enough argument, we could watch There Will Be Blood as a vampire film. Like, what if Daniel Day-Lewis is a vampire?
Oh my God, I want to see that film.
Could be a Carmilla
He'd be
loop.
a bad vampire. I don't mean bad like, oh, that's, I mean bad like he'd be a
Like a bad motherfucker?
bad
Well,
motherfucker
he's, I think
vampire.
one could argue he's an emotional vampire. Technically, if you think about it, he's looking for that oil and he's sucking it out of the
It's the blood of
ground
the earth.
like a vampire. I can make an argument for that being a vampire film.
Great, let's watch it.
Oh my gosh, let's do it. I haven't watched it in forever.
So good.
Yeah, it's so dark and long and slow, like a vampire. Hey,
Hey.
why do you have glitter on?
I have glitter on?
Yep.
I'll tell you why I have glitter on. Because I have my pole showcase tomorrow. I haven't even.
Casey,
Yes.
I teach. Fuck!
I know, I know.
You son of a bitch!
But don't worry, because
Are you gonna record it?
it will be recorded. The tickets opened while I was at Burning Man, and it sold out immediately.
You mean a pole dancing show called Like a Virgin sold out immediately?
Yes.
That's
So I came back and I
crazy.
was like, cool, I guess I won't invite any of my friends.
Damn.
Which is fine because there's a very small amount of people I would invite to my first pole showcase because my expectations were so high and
Right.
you don't want to look like an idiot when you're naked and you're like trying to be sexy on a pole. Like, that's not.
I have a question though.
Yes.
Who's on your list?
You,
That's right.
obviously.
Are you just saying that because we're
No.
literally recording right now?
No, I'm not.
And this is a friendship test?
Nope.
Good.
We practiced for our teachers, and I saw a video, and everybody's like, yeah, it was amazing. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then I watched the video back, and I was like,
Is it the video I saw with a tiny, tiny strip of fabric covering your tiny, tiny vagina hole?
yeah,
Uh-huh.
yeah. And I watched that video, and I was like, oh, I am literally on par with everybody else that's performing pole for the first time.
What?
Yep. And they're like, everybody in the room is really supportive, and the teacher's really supportive. And you see the teacher being like, that was amazing to other students who go, and you know there are problems. It's clear. I'm like, that, I'm not a word that I would have used. I think I did really well for my first. I've never choreographed a solo piece before. I've never performed pole before. So I think I did really well for it being my first time. I'm gonna go out there with that, be like, it is what it is, and I'm gonna lower my bar, my expectations, and that's fine.
I bet you're amazing.
Thank you.
I'll be amazed
Thank you.
when I see it.
Okay.
I'll be like, what?
I'm gonna be Anita Berber. Shocker.
I love it.
Question. It was funny. She was like, what's your stage name? And at the dress rehearsal, I was like, Casey. And everybody laughed. And then today I was like, no, girl. Because to answer your question, why I have glitter on me, it's because I was glittering my outfit. Because I made my outfit. And I hate crafts, but I hate it. And I made it.
You hate
I
crafts.
fucking hate crafts. I was like, what do I need for this piece? And I was scouring the internet and I found the perfect thing. Unfortunately, the woman who makes it is in Australia and it would not have gotten here in time. So, our wonderful, beautiful kitty, Cindy Lou Who, I basically strong-armed her into basically making my costume.
That's incredible.
But she was very kind and I did like 20% of it and she did the rest. And it's like a bra top that looks like two hands grabbing my boobs.
Amazing.
And my bottoms look like one hand that's just grabbing my crotch.
Amazing.
And I glittered it today
Oh my
because I was
goodness.
gonna bedazzle it with lots of jewels, but there's not time for that because of
No.
my life right now.
Not unless you were to ask a friend.
Not unless I strong-armed Cindy into it, but she had a pretty strong boundary about that. She was like, girl, I don't have time. And I was like, okay.
I would have bedazzled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
thanks.
love crafts.
Oh, fuck.
Have you met me? Next
Oh, I
time.
did. Next time.
Next time you need
Yeah.
a hand bedazzled.
Oh my God, amazing. Thank you. And I did it at 8 a.m. this morning because I didn't do it last night because I worked till 2:30 in the morning. So this morning at 8 a.m., I was just like, glitter, glitter.
No. Casey,
Yes.
what we do in the shadows is we glitter and vajazzle things
Yeah.
or bedazzle
As
things.
vampires.
Yeah. That's what we would do. But you wouldn't. What would you, okay, what would be your basic thing that you would do as a vampire?
Are you calling all these vampires basic?
Yes.
They
All
are.
these vampires are basic.
I agree, but I also disagree. I agree they are clearly very basic. I disagree because I think at one time when they were in their prime, they were not basic. But this movie plays it where, like, you just don't age well from century to century.
No, ma'am. You are incorrect.
I am?
Yes. And I will tell you why. Because he says, I was turned when I was 17, so I still look 17. It's just 17,800 years ago, you aged a lot faster, right? Because people's average lifespan was
shorter
to 40. Yeah.
I don't see how that's an argument for what I said.
Because he...
I don't mean physically.
Oh.
I mean, if you live in this world, if you live from one century to the next, you don't necessarily adjust in a way that's like...
What about Nick? Because Nick is basic and he was just turned.
That's true.
See? And what's her name? The familiar.
I mean, they prettied her up a little bit when she was turned. Put some makeup on her.
Okay.
I mean, you have a really good point about Nick. But like, when the guy with the long hair was turned, he was like, had crazy powers and was really powerful and strong. And like, now he doesn't. So I feel like at one point he was really awesome and then it just kind of like fizzled. Maybe that's how vampires age.
No. No, I just think everyone's ridiculously average. Here's the thing. This is gonna sound crazy. Just follow me on this tangent and maybe we'll do the intro 20-30 minutes in. I was watching a wonderful television show on the HBO today and it was called Getting Better. Anyway, it was about a woman who is a junkie and an alcoholic and lost the rights to her son, the parental rights, and through a random series of events, she gets hooked up with this guy who happens to be a hitman. None of that is neither here nor there. But before she meets up with this guy, she relapses, like, really fucking hard. And she locks herself in a hotel room and she's smoking lots of meth and, like, she's drinking and then, like, she stops smoking meth and it's, like, over a course of many episodes. And she's doing a lot of drinking. And I was thinking to myself, golly, that's triggering. Why is that so triggering? I know that that's not my point being. The thing I love about what we do in the shadows is it shows us what we would really look like if we became vampires with superpowers. Because in our head, it is Interview with a Vampire style, right? We are the Brad Pitt or the Antonio Banderas or the like gorgeous fucking what's her name who played Akasha? Aaliyah. Right? We're like, oh my gosh, I want to become a vampire because I'll look like Aaliyah.
No, I totally agree. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, you live in a world of humans and you would not look like Aaliyah because Aaliyah doesn't belong in this world.
Exactly. That's my point. And like when I look at people using and abusing drugs for a storyline or a plot with really cool background music going and it's like, oh, they don't have consequences or their consequences are glamorous and look how tortured they are. And then I remember what I looked like using and abusing drugs and alcohol, right? And I'm like, oh yeah. And that's what I like about what we do in the shadows.
No, it's like, this is what would happen, everybody.
Yes, to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody would just look, unless you were Brad Pitt or Aaliyah, you would not look...
Well, I still think they would even be goofified a bit.
You think so?
Oh yeah, you can't like hang out in the ceiling in a corner without looking a little weird.
Well, Brad Pitt is already looking goofier and goofier the older he gets.
Yeah. I agree for that very same reason.
Thank you.
That is why I love this film,
yeah,
too. That is one of the many reasons. I also just think the comedy is so good. I can't tell if it was written or improvised.
It was written by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. And, you know, it might be, we'll get into it when we get into the trivia.
You don't think they improvised at all?
I don't know. Oh, here, I read the first piece of trivia. About 125 hours of footage was shot.
Oh my God.
Most of which was improvisation from the cast.
Do you know how much gold is probably in those shots that we'll never see?
Oh God, could we have completely alternate versions of what we do in the shadows?
I would watch them all.
The process of editing that down to a 90-minute movie took almost a year. The directors have stated that they are considering making all the footage available online so that fans can edit their own version.
Oh my God, why hasn't that happened?
I don't know.
You can tell it's improvised. Like that, but it's written well because it was just like the perfect marrying of writing and improv, which you know I never say. Because they were very talented. They could deliver dialogue naturally and then expand upon it correctly.
Yeah.
It was just perfection. The jokes were hilarious. And there's something about being in a world where everybody has this foundational understanding of what vampires are. And it's Brad Pitt and Aaliyah, right?
Right.
So this film is just about caricatures of these archetypes.
And yeah, like
if I was also had no reflection, I would also be like, oh, Ghost Cup. Like, of course he would.
Taika Waititi based his performance on his mother, and Jermaine Clement based his on Gary Oldman in Dracula, Bram Stoker's William Shakespeare's Dracula.
Amazing.
Oh my God, I want to base my vampire on my mother. That would be delightful. Yeah. Do you want to start this podcast?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I forgot we didn't do it.
What should we do as a stinger? Your favorite quote from the film.
Do I have to pick one?
One of your favorite quotes from the film. We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Oh, we're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Theme song. Hello, it's me, it's Sarah Marie, and I'm a sucker for a good vampire film.
And I'm Casey, and I am just a sucker.
But for reals, Casey writes and studies scripts and produces and acts in films, and I think that she is not of this world and therefore would be in an interview with the vampire type world, not a what we do in the shadows type world.
And Sarah Marie is the expert on all things vampire, such that she basically is a vampire, and she thinks she's a basic vampire, but really if she found herself in a world of basic vampires, she would be elevating it.
Oh my gosh, you know who I would be? I'd be Stu. I'd be the like real basic one that people just like. That'd be nice. Yeah. Be helpful.
And together, we are Little Renegade Films, a production house that creates podcasts and web series and other sweet treats.
And this is Bloodsuckers, a podcast where we endeavor to watch every vampire film that we can get our fangs into.
And as super fans and filmmakers, we are pumping you full of our own personal brand of heroin, i.e. commentary and opinions and stuff.
So suck it up and listen in. Tonight, we sink our teeth into What We Do in the Shadows, the feature film from 2014. But first,
messy mouse.
You know when you have a green couch, right? And this green couch, you want to keep it green.
You love it.
You lay down towels and newspapers and you like really make a point to eat really, but then you bite into it and you like totally bite.
You hit a jugular and just
spray blood everywhere. Yeah,
it Bellagio's out of your neck.
Yes. Yeah. That is an excellent, excellent reference.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can't remember what song the Bellagio plays when they do that.
Probably their own song for money purposes.
Oh, it's like, it's a classic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I can't remember either.
Oh, it's probably like dun, 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 dun.
But I now want to play that song when blood is gushing out of someone's jugular.
Oh, we should. We could also make it kind of sexual. What was I saying? Oh, sometimes our mouths get messy.
Yeah.
And we mess up all over the place. This is last week's disgusting accidents.
I am powerful. I am free. And I like redecorating my house.
Nicki Minaj. I am also powerful and beautiful.
Oh my God.
I'm without regret.
I almost said beautiful too. I was like, is it beautiful? I was like, no.
You're really close.
I'm so close.
You got the first two words.
That's progress.
Two words.
In like 30-something episodes, I finally got the first two words. Tonight we drink deeply of What We Do in the Shadows.
From 2014.
Yeah.
Would you like to read?
Yeah, I'm super curious about what the synopsis will be.
Let me see. It's just one sentence.
Vampire housemates try to cope with the complexities of modern life and show a newly turned hipster some of the perks of being undead. I'd say that's accurate.
Here's the thing.
It doesn't summate the glory of the film.
Sure.
But it's accurate.
What's really interesting is you and I were talking during the film about how nothing happens in the film. Yeah. And that in and of itself is why it works so well as improvised dialogue. A series of things. I think about like the Christopher Guest films in the same, like Best in Show is just a whole bunch of different characters. You're meeting those characters, you're getting to know them, then they have a dog show, then someone wins that dog show, and then we find out what happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. In this one, we meet vampires. A new vampire gets made. We learn all about their lives, and through the course of that, a new vampire gets made. That's like the middle part, is introducing this new vampire and this new vampire changing their dynamic. And then the third part is the party. And that's it.
And it's real casual. It's just like a day in the life of being a vampire in this hilarious world.
Yeah.
Where they exploit and make fun of perfectly all of the archetypal traditional vampire things. I think the want was, what's his name? Wanting, what's his name? To clean the dishes.
Taika Waititi, who played Viago.
Yeah. Viago was like, wanted the dishes clean. And then the point of no return, the dishes were getting clean. And I can't remember what it was at the expense of, though.
I don't think it was. I don't think you're right about this.
What do you think the want was? Who's the main character?
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? Because the documentary crew was very present and they were talking to the documentary crew and they were working within that parameter. And so I feel like the want was to look cool for the documentarians.
Mm.
And the point of no return was the documentarians getting eaten by werewolves? That doesn't seem right.
Did the people doing the documentary get eaten by werewolves?
One of them did, yeah.
I don't know. I don't even care.
That's what's so amazing about this thing is because every other film you've been so on the ball about story and it needing to have an arc and like a hero journey.
There's just points along the way that you meet and you can tell when a film doesn't meet them because you're bored and nothing's happening. In this film, nothing is really happening, but it's so funny.
It's just a lovely pastoral. It's
delightful.
So what makes it funny and delightful?
How they make fun of vampires. And the things they say as vampires.
Like, this is a classic thing of vampires and werewolves having this, like, century-old feud.
And then the werewolves show up and they're feuding, but the werewolves are like, it's like this recovery group for fucking werewolves. And they're like you said, we're not werewolves, not swearwolves. And they're just trying to do better. And they're like, take off your clothes before you turn. Any clothes you want to keep, make sure to remove them now.
Why didn't you wear your extra roomy snap pants?
Yeah, like, it's just so delightful. It's fun to watch who these werewolves have actually become.
There's a phrase from Europe called to take the piss out of something. Have you heard of this phrase?
No.
Oh, taking the piss is the American version of like to fuck with.
Mm.
To mock at the expense of others or to be joking without the element of offense.
Mm.
So they like take the piss out of all vampire stuff. Like when you think about how serious so many vampires. The addiction.
Yeah, they're super serious. They take themselves very seriously.
Very, very seriously.
And this film takes the piss out of it.
Because they're still taking themselves very seriously and very sincerely, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's
how it would actually look in the world. Also, their practical effects and their stunts were so great. And it really showed how you're like, I love practical effects in found footage. And I think that shined again here because, especially in the werewolf fight.
Yeah.
Because there is no really great way to make werewolves, when you're doing it practically, make werewolves look awesome.
And they
looked ridiculous.
Real dumb.
They looked real dumb, but you just saw them for an instant. So you're just like, oh, that was like a big monster. And you don't get a focus on it long enough to be like, oh, that's a weird looking costume.
Well, and the other thing is the world build, right? Of the vampire house being like very old and haunted mansion-y.
Yeah.
And that first initial attack scene when they end up making Nick into a vampire is really scary. Like Deacon, played by Jonathan Brew, he was inside Nick's backpack, right? And crawls out of his backpack.
I mean, it was scary, but it was hilarious. I was like, what the fuck are you getting in his backpack?
Just for fun, just having fun as a vampire. Nick was played by Corey Gonzalez. M-A-C-U-E-R. Stu Rutherford played Stu. I bet he is a friend.
He had to be to get that part in movies that are with people who improvise and do comedies. They all run in crowds.
Oh my gosh.
And communities.
Don't
cliques.
They? Don't they just?
Yes.
Love.
I love that there was a Nosferatu, too. I think they did all vampire stereotypes.
I think that they really did.
Except for a female or five.
Yep. Yeah. Kind of is a stereotype. When she gives that Jackie, the familiar, when she gives the line about vampires biting each other's dicks in a big vampire circle biting jerk or whatever. Like, I love you, Jackie, because that is what it is.
Yeah.
Big old bro fest.
Yeah. They could have done some really funny things with female stereotype vampire steroid. But like they had the Nosferatu, they had the interview with the vampire, they had like the Vlad, the Impaler, the poker.
I feel like Nick might have been the Twilight.
Oh yeah, Nick was Twilight.
Maybe.
In that direction.
But yeah. Not so on the nose, just like of the era.
Yeah.
Because there is no plot and story to break down, we should just read trivia.
I'm sad that Peter died. Also, I love that a vampire was 8,000 years old and his name was Peter.
And Peter was played by, to be fair, his name was spelled P-E-T-Y-R.
P-tier. I mean, I guess it's a biblical name, too, so it could have been that old.
Yeah. Ben Francham.
But can we talk about how, like, is that how vampires age? Like, why are Nosferatu so hideous?
I think...
Why wasn't he turned and looked like...
I don't know, because here's the thing. At the party, there were some vampires that had pointy ears. There were some vampires that had, like, very white skin. Maybe it is an age thing.
Maybe if you get bit by a Nosferatu, you look like a Nosferatu.
But Nick was bit by a Nosferatu, so was...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know then why.
So was Deacon. I think it's, like, your choices, like, how you want to style yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, Peter was like, I'm gonna wear the same cloak every day.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna focus my teeth to the front.
And I'm gonna forget how to use language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna nod because I don't want to talk anymore. Do, 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 do. Okay, trivia. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The building used for the exterior shots of the vampire's house used to be Peter Jackson's office. Peter Jackson, do you know what famous film he made?
No.
Okay, we're starting that Lord of the Rings podcast.
No.
Yep. This, you did it to yourself. For not knowing who Peter Jackson is.
Did he do Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a famous New Zealand filmmaker.
This makes sense then.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
His house is real crappy and
stuff. On the outside. Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi wrote 150 pages of script. So
what?
They fucking wrote script.
That's why there's 125 hours.
But chose not to show it to a single person involved in the film, both crew and cast. They only described broad strokes of what each scene was about, sometimes providing a beginning and an end point. This was to keep things spontaneous and to allow the actors to be surprised by the events unfolding before their eyes.
Oh, so it was improvised.
So they,
the whole thing.
Yeah, but they wrote a script and then they're like, okay, in this scene, we're going to have a house meeting and I really am going to talk about the chore wheel and you doing the dishes. But it was two people that wrote the script, Jermaine Clement playing Vladislav and Taika Waititi, who played Viago, knowing the script that they wrote and having everyone else in there because they were never in a scene alone together. So they got to help shape
what was going on. Mm-hmm. They set the tone for sure. Leave me to my dark bidding on the internet.
What are you bidding on?
A table.
A table. Oh, Stu Rutherford had not played a primary acting role in a movie prior to appearing in this one. He was an extra in Boy in 2010. Stu was a part-time business analyst for Wellington Company.
So it was just true life in this movie.
He was hired for the film under the impression that he would be working on computers and that he would play a small part in the film.
Wait. Did they change that later? Or, like, did they just not... Were they dishonest with him?
I don't know.
So he's not even an actor. They were just like, we need a normal guy.
He was an extra once. So he was, like, in the...
What?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to know so much more. A follow-up movie titled We're Wolves is currently in development. Also a mockumentary. This movie follows a group of werewolves living in modern-day Wellington, New Zealand. It's still in development. It was announced in 2016, so I'm pretty sure it's dead. Yeah.
I was afraid of that.
It sounds lovely, though.
It does sound lovely. That should happen.
The hill where the vampires have a run-in with the werewolves is the same hill filmed in The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring from 2001, where Frodo and the hobbits are running from the Black Rider and hiding under the roots of trees.
She's looking at me like she told me so.
Yeah, told you so.
She did.
I didn't
literally
know that
told
at all.
Me so.
That's true. The movie initially didn't do very well in its homeland, New Zealand, so distribution...
What?
I know. So distribution to the United States was canceled. The directors were able to bring screenings of the film to the USA after a successful Kickstarter fundraising campaign where it eventually became the most pirated movie of the year.
That's so disappointing because they got no money for that.
Do you remember where you watched it originally?
I watched it in a theater.
I did too. I watched it at the Arbor, which is like the weird...
I think that's where I saw the weird art house theater.
And I was like, oh shit, it's a vampire film. I'm gonna go see this. Like, not knowing anything about what I was walking into. And I remember not understanding the tone at first because this vampire style has never...
been done. Yeah.
And being like, I think this is funny, but I don't know if I get it.
Really?
And then being like, I like this a lot. This is amazing. It was the attack scene. The first attack scene. I was like, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it in a theater and I was like, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into. If I could venture a guess, I probably saw it because somebody was like, this movie is good. You should go see it. And I did. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I was like, holy shit.
I thought it was going to be a sincere horror because a lot of sincere horror vampire films had come out in response to Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yay. People hate Twilight. That means they're going to make a whole bunch of other vampire films. Yay.
I can't believe it didn't do well in New Zealand, those Idiots.
Idiots. I bet they're really proud of it now, though.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Each of the main characters are similar to a vampire from a famous vampire movie. Peter is analogous to Count Orlok from Nosferatu. Deacon reflects David from The Lost Boys. Deacon is the cool bad boy of the group before Nick joins.
So Deacon
is... Who did his erotic dance for everyone. Vladislav
forgot
is...
forgot about that scene. What was... They didn't even give that any explanation.
Nick showed up at the window, floating in.
And it stopped it.
And Deacon said... I was doing an erotic dance for my flatmates and you interrupted me for amusement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vladislav is compared to Gary Oldman's Dracula. Nick is reminiscent of Edward from Twilight.
You were right.
Yes. And Viago is like Louis de Pointe-du-Lac from Interview with the Vampire, The Vampire Chronicles. You called it.
I can't believe that Vlad wasn't like a Dracula.
Who?
Vlad the Poker.
Oh, he was. Gary Oldman played Dracula in Dracula.
Oh, I don't know names.
Okay, I'm going to make you look at pictures.
That's more reasonable.
Deacon?
Uh-huh. And now that we're looking at these pictures, I would also like to say that whoever costumed this film is a genius.
Because he even did the Three Brides orgy fest.
Oh, yeah, the Three Brides of Dracula.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those teeth are the worst.
They're so bad.
So scary. Back to trivia. In total, it took 9 years to bring the film to the screen. In the time it took to be made, the number of vampire films and TV shows dramatically increased, which worried the filmmakers. Oh no, your film came just in time.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Peter was conceived as devoid of personality, but unscripted scenes of the actor in makeup were expensive, so extra footage of the actor in makeup was shot, such as the scene of him listening to music. Taika Waititi can speak German, having briefly lived in the country, so was able to incorporate some of the phrases he remembered into the script.
And that FaceTime call.
The bars and nightclubs the vampires visit are actual bars in Wellington's entertainment district based around Courtney Place.
So they straight up went downtown.
Yes. The police officers who arrive at the house after the fight between Deacon and Nick later got their own spin-off show called Wellington Paranormal.
What? Another
Taika Waititi Jermaine Clement production.
We have to see that.
It features the same officers investigating and explaining away all sorts of paranormal phenomena.
Oh yeah, the cops.
Oh yeah, this is a big problem here.
It's so natural. They were all so natural at delivering their comedy.
So
like,
good.
That's what makes it so perfect. It's like the finesse they had.
I love deadpan comedy.
Yeah.
And it's actually deceptively...
It's hard.
It's deceptively hard not to wink at the fucking audience.
Yeah.
And be like, this is a joke. Do you get the joke?
Mm-mm. Yeah. And they did it masterfully. The whole cast. But those cops were like...
They were great.
So good.
Vlad refers to himself as Vlad the Poker, a play on the infamous Vlad the Impaler. One of the portraits of Viago shown in the film identifies him as a count. Some sources include Wikipedia list Viago's full name as Viago von Blitzenberg. In the promotional video, Taika Waititi filmed in character as Viago for the New Zealand dating site Find Someone. His name is given as Viago von Grossenheimen. Viago von Grossenheimen. The in the trial episode of the TV series What We Do in the Shadows, Viago introduces himself as Viago von Dorna Schmarten Schedden Heimberg. Delightful. Key influences for the writers were The Lost Boys, 1987, Dracula, 1992, and Interview with the Vampire, The Vampire Chronicles, 1994, all of which are heavily quoted or referenced in the film, as indeed are Blade, 1998, Twilight, 2008, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 1997.
Are they referenced?
He dressed up as Blade when they were looking at going to the Unholy Ball, and they talked the plate of spaghetti worms was definitely The Lost Boys. Nick was shouting Twilight down the street when he became a vampire. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I don't know.
The Slayer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They carve these down from a table leg. The end credits show that all four of the main human characters share a name with their actors. Stu is played by Stu Rutherford. Jackie is played by Jackie Van Beek. Officer O'Leary is Karen O'Leary. And Officer Minogue is Mike Minogue.
So it's okay that in Blood Sisters we're using our own names.
Correct. Viago and Deacon came to New Zealand from Germany, though Deacon is originally from Romania, along with Peter. It is implied that Vladislav is also from Romania, as his character is named after the Vlad the Impaler. Jackie Van Beek was in the early stages of pregnancy while filming.
No kidding.
I kind of noticed that when she was ironing.
Really?
I was like, oh, her belly looks a little preggo.
Huh.
I didn't want to be rude, though, and be like, hey, Jackie, you pregnant?
You should do that.
You should never make that assumption.
No, because sometimes they're not pregnant.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes they're just real hurt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you know one of my early jobs was working at Old Navy?
I didn't.
I was the department lead for the men's department for a hot second, and then I moved over to kids' department. Heavy in the training is never, never, never assume someone's pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they focus on.
Yeah, like 9 months. Well, you know, they focus on other stuff, but even if they're 9 months pregnant, if there's a hand hanging out of their vagina, you're like, who are you shopping for? I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
I know. Despite being inspired by Bram Stoker's classic novel Dracula, Jermaine Clement still hasn't read the book, which makes a lot of sense because he didn't pull inspiration from the book. He pulled it from the Bram Stoker's William Shakespeare's Dracula,
which
are different things. They lost a charred polystyrene skeleton body during the shoot. After throwing it in the harbor for a funeral scene, the scene didn't end up in the film, and not realizing it was drifting away. Taika Waititi commented on the situation saying, it was quite realistic looking, so we had to put a press release out saying that if anyone finds a charred body washed up on the beach, don't be alarmed, it's just a prop. That is delightful.
Oh my gosh, I want to see all the extras.
While the vampires discuss stew at the Unholy Masquerade, the convenience store cashier to whom Nick earlier reveals himself to be a vampire appears briefly in the foreground of the frame.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I think that ball scene is a good explanation, like, of why the world is so good at making fun of vampires. Because it's also just when he has his mask on, Vlad, and he comes in and he's all, like, debonair and is like, no one will eat the human. You don't recognize your former lover. And then there's that moment where in any other vampire movie, the mask would just like whoop off his face.
Yes.
Perfectly. And he was like, had to untie it and be careful of his hair. And he's like, oh, no, I got it. That's how life would be.
That's how life would be.
You have to tie those things on your face.
That's real life.
I love it.
The film is based on a 2005 short film, What We Do in the Shadows, Interviews with Some Vampires. Stu Rutherford, an IT technician and high school friend of Waititi's in real life, was initially told he would only have a bit part in the film so he would act more naturally when filming. He did not realize his role was so important until the film's premiere. They tricked the fuck out of him.
How he was on set for so long. How did he not know?
I don't know. I don't know how many days they were shooting. What We Do in the Shadows raised $447,000 towards the film from over 7,000 supporters via crowdfunding website Kickstarter.
All for distribution, I guess.
I guess. The film was heavily pirated. After the shutting down of a piracy website based in Mount Wellington, Auckland, the website revealed that at 277,000 downloads, What We Do in the Shadows was its most heavily pirated film.
My God.
Rotten Tomatoes gave a rating, but I'm not going to read it because fuck them.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
But it was really great. It was really great.
Of course it was.
I was very tempted. The film grossed $3.2 million in the United States and $2.7 million internationally. Hooray! In May of 2019, Waititi said, Werewolves is the film that Jermaine and I keep pretending that we're making. Every couple of years we say we're making a new film called Werewolves, which follows the werewolves from the film, said Waititi. I feel bad to even mention it now because we keep saying it, but it's just like a dad saying, yeah, I'll be home for Christmas. I suppose we're just two dads out on the road enjoying our lives and going, we're not coming home for Christmas. We'll send a postcard. It's not like we don't want to come home for Christmas. We would like nothing more. But we have a lot of shit going on. When are you gonna die? Do you have a deadline before your death? I guarantee it before then. 5 years, 10 years, it took us 7 years to write the first film. So you do the math. That was a sad thing to say.
It was sad.
That's what he said. He said it at the end of his quote. That was a sad thing to say.
What does it say about the television spinoff?
Wellington Paranormal and then What We Do in the Shadows. Those are the two spinoffs.
I don't think the What We Do in the Shadows spinoff is nearly as delightful as the film.
You have said that about season one. I've enjoyed season two better. Like, I think it builds on itself, and I haven't seen the past two seasons that have come out.
Did we make it to season two?
I don't think we did. I had watched it before you and I started watching it.
So I only was in season one.
I can't remember at this point.
Should we watch the whole thing? There's four seasons.
Season four came out July of 2022.
I feel like I need to watch the whole thing before I judge it.
I concur. What were your three favorite things that happened in the film?
The whole thing.
One. Perfect.
I don't know how to answer this because it's all so good.
Or three favorite elements of the film. Like you already said, the costuming. Or, okay, let me ask you this. Was there anything you would want to change?
No.
About the film? This really is your number one favorite vampire film and number one favorite film.
Yeah, absolutely. How would you even decide what to change in a film that basically lacks structure?
I would just want more of it.
I agree. I want to see the rest of the stuff that was shot because it's probably hilarious.
And this is also also what I like to call the perfect anti-anxiety film. Because nothing happens and there's not a strong arc and there's not a lot of tension, you're just watching delightful people be delightful, and yeah, it's incredibly soothing and calming.
Yeah.
And because it's vampires, it's like double plus.
I think the werewolf vampire interaction was one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
Them getting dressed to go downtown was great.
Mm-hmm.
Biting the jugular and having it spray everywhere. The Three Brides of Dracula in that one moment, that was a great effect.
My only complaint is not enough women.
Oh yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a given. That's it. It was
and POC representation.
Completely devoid of anything that wasn't a white man.
You know what I noticed when I was watching The Descendants, the Disney Channel feature film, and The Descendants 2 and The Descendants 3, so I could see that delicious gentleman from The Invitation in a younger film series. I was noticing what great representation those films have, not only for POC, but they had a person in a wheelchair. And it made me realize, oh shit, I know part of my privilege view is that I don't see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like ableist. That's that's like a total blind spot in our representation that we haven't even been noticing because it's so not present anywhere.
Yeah, that's a really good call.
That it took like someone in a wheelchair in a mythical, magical Disney world of princesses and stuff that was just cool hanging out. Nothing wrong. Just happened to be a person in a wheelchair. And I was like, oh shit, I missed it.
Me too.
Yeah. Or any like missing limbs or any, I don't know the right word for it.
Paraplegic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
None of that.
I agree.
Sad.
Good call.
Thank you.
I can't figure out why they didn't have any women in here, because there's definitely a stereotype for female vampires, like several.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me that they were just like, meh. And part of me wonders if it's because of the belief that women aren't funny, they were super cliquish, they just don't have female friends.
Maybe.
Because I think Akasha should have been in this film or something similar.
Well, they had the Beast, right? Which was Pauline.
Yeah.
Which was delightful.
But I mean, if you put a character like overly sexualized vampire female character in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that, and I want to see how she cannot function with her outfits in the real world.
I would love to see, because we had child vampires. We definitely had crowd female vampires. Like, in all the crowd scenes, there was definitely equal footing. But we didn't have, like, why couldn't we have Dracula's Brides?
Oh my god, you know how we want to do a movie about Dracula's Brides after The Invitation?
Yeah.
This is, like, the style of film that we should do.
Oh my god, let's do it.
Dracula's Brides.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes.
I love. And I'll be the very conservative bride from the very conservative time period. And you'll be the bride that's just like constantly wrapped in silk with a wind fan. You know what I mean? Fantastic.
Put this in our list of movies that we're making.
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list.
There's nothing much to talk about when it's such a delightful time.
I know.
Time. We read some.
I was like, oh, this podcast isn't as funny because we just love this film so much.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No. I mean, shame on it for having terrible representation.
Yeah.
Like blatantly obvious. Like, they put effort into making sure it was only white men everywhere and there was just like one woman.
Yeah.
Just, if you haven't seen it, you're dumb.
Yeah. Fucking fact.
Go see What We Do in the Shadows. It's fucking fantastic. It's hilarious.
And it's like Casey's top
vampire film.
And in your top film?
And in my top film.
Which is really impressive. And considering it breaks every single rule that you hold near and dear to your heart.
Script? Improv? Like, it just, but they do it so well. Like, this is a great example of how you mesh those two worlds together really well. It's mm-hmm. not easy to do, despite improvisers thinking that it is.
Mm.
And I think they had the budget to do it well. I don't know. It was just perfection. You'll laugh your face off.
It got a blood score of 0.
It did, because they did a fucking terrible job with representation.
But we loved it anyway. And they did a great job with exposition. Like, let's talk about the tropes real quick.
All of the classic tropes.
All the different vampires, which we've already talked about. They couldn't touch silver, which is kind of a new one. Horrified by crosses.
Is it a new one? I feel like it's not.
It's not.
It's traditional.
It's really not. It's pretty traditional.
They couldn't be in the sun.
Stakes.
The stakes through the heart, crucifixes. They didn't talk about holy water.
They could fly. They could turn into bats.
You couldn't see their reflection.
He dressed up as a nun to go to the unholy, and he got major flack for it because, like, religious stuff of any kind.
You can't eat human food or you'll just projectile vomit.
Mm-hmm. Classic
done
stuff.
So well. Same with the werewolves. Their tropes.
Mind control.
Also, mind control and hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Having to be invited in.
Frozen fashion sense,
yep.
Oh, and to be made into a vampire, you had to get your blood sucked out and then their blood put back in.
Yeah.
Exchange. Coffins.
Coffins? You slept in coffins?
Or upside down like a bat?
Werewolves and vampires hated each other.
Vampires thought that werewolves smelled real bad.
Uh-huh. Werewolves ripped all their clothes when they turned. They turned on the full moon.
Yep.
I think it's just a juxtaposition of them being like werewolves, not werewolves. And then guys were trying to do better or whatever. Uh-huh. And then them turning and like you got to see them turn into these just vicious beasts that were the opposite of what they were being when they were human.
Juxtapositions are funny.
Yeah. They're trying so hard to counter being monsters that they couldn't control on the full moon when they were humans.
And one of my all-time favorites, vampires don't do dishes.
Is that a trope?
That's just a quote. Vampires don't do dishes.
Oh.
Hiss, hiss, hiss.
Oh, messy eater is another trope.
Yes, all of them were messy eaters.
Messiest of eaters.
So silly. And familiar, yeah.
And familiar was in there. Mm-hmm. Two of them.
Yeah. But, Casey, yeah. I know we talked about it at the beginning.
Yeah, we had my period of my life at the beginning.
But do you want more period of your life?
No, I am good.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? How's this period of your life?
This period of my life is going really well. Nothing interesting has happened at all.
You're just chill. That's
yeah, good. Just chill.
Yeah.
It's having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's it.
Well, no fun SMC news for you. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Is there a deeply personal question you want to ask me that I probably won't answer?
No, but I will tell you I have an excellent idea. I think I told you this before. I have an excellent idea for minisodes. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Ooh.
I'm just going to spring it on you.
Okay.
And then you can start participating in it.
Yes.
Spring it on you.
I love. So,
I think the people are going to like it too. I was 40% prepared to do it today. And then I got here and was like, oh, fuck. I forgot that other 60% because my life is crazy right now.
Yeah.
And even have it on my phone and everything. I was like, not today.
Not today.
Not today, Satan.
Oh my gosh.
So next time.
I'm so excited.
And then we'll have like fun minisodes that we can put out whenever we want.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So you can follow us on the Instagram. You can join our Patreon to keep contributing to filmmakers who want to make films and to pay people for the films that they make. Please like and subscribe and ding the bell or what the fuck ever.
But we have 15 of 20 episodes of season one film,
which is
super excited to see how it all comes together. It's looking really fucking good.
It's looking so good.
Yeah. So shout outs to Jacob Berardi, Henry
Aramanum.
Oh my God, I have no idea what his last name is because it's so many letters. I just look at it and I'm like, I'm not even going to try.
Arambide.
Henry Arambide.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Fortenberry.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Curry.
And Mike DeLonzo
for helping make this happen.
Yep.
We're very excited to share this with you.
Yes. Later, suckers! Bloodsuckers is a podcast by Little Renegade Films. It stars Casey Samie and Sarah Marie Curry, with silent contributions by Taylor Novak. Title and closing theme are by Tosin Awofeso. Follow us on the social medias at BloodsuckersPod. And for more of our offerings, go to littlerenegadefilms.com. Thank you for listening. I'm a vampire.